You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith, episode 73.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years. And help hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
Welcome to Small Business Talk. It's time to get back to our new normal. For many people, COVID was a time to reflect and to assess how they work or do business. The world will never be the same, and 2020 will definitely go down as a landmark year in history. Now the world is watching, and in some areas waiting to see how we will move forward. What will you be doing different? Have you thrown out some of your old practices and realized that yes, you can stop? For a lot of people, it's been a realization that they don't need to work 7 days a week and that other people can do some of the work. You can delegate and you can survive. In today's episode of Small Business Talk, we are chatting to some special guests to equip you on how to move forward and really take advantage of the opportunities that COVID has provided. Firstly, we're going to talk to Amy Van Meegel, and she tells us all about negative self-talk. You can control what you think. You can get that thought pop up. You can say things like, "You can't afford it. Who do you think you are?" And you might think, "Oh, where did that come from?" And when you have that thought, Amy says it's time to stop. Take a moment and reassess. How can this be a bit different? If I think differently, what if I have a different thought at that moment? Wow, that is definitely food for thought, isn't it? Don't let your thoughts overtake you. Let's listen to Amy.
One of the things that I have been learning and practicing and really paying attention to, being aware of, was the way that I was thinking about and speaking to myself about when you start something new, all the doubt pop up and come in. And I thought, wow, okay, I need to find a different way to move through this, something that's easy and actionable that I don't have to, you know, jump up and down 10 times holding my tongue to the roof of my mouth or something to be able to find a better way to move out of this. Yeah, that's what I want to talk about today. Just how there's a simple, call it a practice, that I have been working on, which seems to be quite effective. I'd love to share that today.
That sounds great, because a lot of times, whether we make it or break it in business, it really is just our mindset, our self-talk. We get one or two people say, "What are you doing that for?" And suddenly we think it's a bad idea. Whereas we get a couple of people say, "Oh, that's cool. Let's go with that." And then we're all revved up and everything's great. So, yeah, we're our own harshest critics. So love to hear about your practice.
So what it stems from, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Jim Fortin. So he's relatively new on my radar. I actually learned about him from James Wedmore. And Jim Fortin was talking about the idea that we are not our thoughts, but we are the thinker of our thought, which, let me tell you, the first time I heard, I think I had to repeat the section of the podcast like four times because I'm like, what? I'm not my thoughts, I'm the thinker of my thoughts. You know, what does that mean? What Jim was talking about essentially is that we look at what's running through our mind as if we have no control over it. And it just happens. And then because it just happens, we sort of are in this victim state that we can't do anything about it. And so what do we do now? As I'm sure you know, and probably most of your listeners know, when you're thinking that way, it causes you to feel a certain way. And all of a sudden you go down this crazy rabbit hole. So if you're doing something new, like launching a new business or even doing something new in your business, then you already have doubt because you're not sure. It's something that you've never done before. And then on top of that, you get this thought pattern that shows up that says, well, who are you to do this? And you can't do this. And we don't have any experience about this. And nobody's going to want to hear about this. And before you know it, you're like full on rocking in the corner, freaking out because this is what's running through your head. When Jim Fortin talked about being the thinker of our thought, it really struck me to go, okay, so I'm more than just this, you know, he calls us a flesh bag, which I think is hilarious. More than just this body that is having these passing moments running through our mind that we have no choice over. And we're not subject to what's running between our ears, But if we pay attention and we actually become the observer, so two things. First of all, when you become the observer, you all of a sudden have the power to choose what you want. And second, when you become the observer of it, you learn a lot about yourself. It's really quite interesting and insightful. And you'll find yourself going, huh, okay, that's really interesting. I didn't realize that I thought that way.
Yes, absolutely. Brooke Castillo from the Life Coach School has a similar sort of philosophy. And yeah, the first time I heard that, I went, oh, wow. And yeah, it really is definitely a different mindset. But then it also makes sense and empowers you. If you can change the way you think, and if you're the thinker, as opposed to letting the thoughts happen, that is so powerful.
Yes. The practice that I have, which is really simple, and we can dig into it a bit deeper, is first of all, recognizing that we're not just this hapless subject of our thoughts happening. We actually have a choice in what we get to think about. The part that I know I wrestled with for quite some time was that thoughts happen so fast, and that a thought will pop up sort of out of nowhere. And that's the part that makes us feel like we have no control over them. When I learned about this idea that we are not our thoughts, but the thinker of our thoughts, it got me to start paying attention. Jim's practice is to pay attention when he feels bad. I pay attention when something all of a sudden is like, oh, where did that come from? Or if I'm about to do something, whether it's something new or something that I'm a little bit nervous about, pay very close attention in those moments, what's coming up in my head. And if I have something that comes up that's like, we can't afford to do this, or we're not, who do we think we are to do this, or you're crazy, you've never done this before, this is a silly thing, then that is a trigger for me now to go, oh, okay, just a moment, this is a thought that I'm having. And so the practice is, it's really simple. And I would recommend, you might look crazy for a little while, but that's okay. I do it at home, which is really great. And I, so far, my boyfriend hasn't heard me. But when I have those thoughts, I will literally say out loud, okay, this is the thought that I'm having. The thought that I am having is, I'm not smart enough to do this. Well, if I'm the thinker of my thoughts, I can either choose to continue down that line, or I can choose a different thought. If I actively choose to continue down that line, I know it's not going to serve me. However, because I'm the thinker of my thoughts and I get to choose, what would be a different thought that I could choose in this moment? Where I found it to be extremely powerful is any thoughts that come up around money. And this is where I think it really has deep value.
Thank you very much, Amy.
Now that you have your negative self-talk under control, what about getting out of your way from behind the computer and let's work on your public speaking? Victoria Lyonovsky tells us that it's all about mindset and being ourselves. When actors prepare for a role, they spend hours and hours, days and days learning their role. Victoria suggests that we don't do that and just be ourselves. Remember, you are enough. Your experience is what makes you you. And you do it your way. Let's listen to what Victoria has to say.
I've always been terrified, absolutely terrified of public speaking. Like if you can imagine your worst fears, I was right there. I've had a long and winding road, a very long journey to overcome my own fears. And when I was finally at a point where I was absolutely comfortable on stage. I wasn't scared at all. I was enjoying my time on stage, my time on camera, my time on podcasts. People started asking me if I, you know, if I always was like this, if they were telling me how I'm a natural. And I felt like, okay, maybe there is something to it. Maybe there is something to what I've done for myself that can help people who are in the same shoes, people who are introverts, people who are terrified public speaking, who cannot imagine being in front of a microphone. Maybe I can help them do the same. And so I've built a whole program, a set of frameworks, of systems, pretty much took apart every experience that I've had and reworked it, re-engineered it.
So that sounds brilliant. I know a lot of our audiences are introverts, me myself. If you had have told me that I would be interviewing people all over the world 12 months ago, well, probably 18 months ago now, I would not have believed you. So it's amazing how far we can come when we actually put ourselves out there. But let's shorten the learning curve for our listeners. And what would be a couple of tips that you would suggest that we should be looking at?
I think the most important thing is to change your mindset about public speaking. The truth is, people are always looking for shortcuts. They're always looking for some tips and tricks, right? Everybody's like, well, just tell me what to do. It's not about how you walk and talk on stage. It's not about how you gesture. It's not about how you, you know, show up on video. It's not about how you show up on podcast. It's not about you, believe it or not. And when you change your mindset that it's not about you, that public speaking is actually not about you, it's about your audience, that's when shifts start to happen. You know, I find it so interesting that you mentioned even 12 months ago, you wouldn't have been able to do what you're doing now, where you're speaking with strangers all over the world, interviewing them on air. I bet you that what made that whole experience so much more comfortable for you is that you realized that you're not doing it for yourself. You're not talking to other people just so that you can be on air. You're realizing how much value you are bringing to your listeners. You're probably realizing that it's all for their benefit and not for yours.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely the case. And sometimes when I think, oh, I've got to do a podcast episode, who will I talk to or what will I do? I'm always at the forefront of my mind is what would my listeners like? How can I help them? So yes, it's definitely a mind shift about not worrying about how I feel. It's how I can help my listeners.
Absolutely. And I think the root of fear is in the fact that we're constantly worried about what will our audience think of us, right? As soon as somebody goes on stage, goes on a live stream, on video, wherever, as soon as you're in front of an audience, we all have that same problem. We all think, oh, what if I'm not enough? What if I'm not smart enough? What if I'm not knowledgeable enough? What if they find out that I don't know anything, right? We all know it. Everybody suffers through it. And it's completely illogical. It makes no sense because we are enough. We are experts, but it doesn't feel like that when we're in front of an audience, when fear really grips us. I think what really helps, and you know, just going back to thinking about your audience, our brain is not truly capable of thinking about several major things at the same time. Our brain can only focus on one big thing. And if that one big thing is, oh, I'm so scared because, oh, they're judging me. Oh, they now know I'm a fraud. Then that's all you can focus on. You're going to still mechanically speak, but it's not going to be the same experience for your audience. Versus when you are focusing on your audience from the very beginning, when instead of thinking, what do they think of me? You turn the tables and you think, how can I make them feel?
That is just so true, isn't it? And a lot of people have imposter syndrome. And like you say, it's very interesting when you hear some of the big names and people you look up to say that they still have imposter syndrome. We've actually done two different episodes in Small Business Talk on imposter syndrome. Something that's out there, we definitely need to be looking at serving and helping our audience rather than worrying about what we're actually doing. That overcomes the fear a lot, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And so this is the biggest mindset shift that I think anybody who struggles with public speaking fears needs to make. Again, as soon as you are in front of your audience, instead of asking yourself, what does my audience think of me? And I'm so scared because they're judging me. Instead of that statement, you turn it around and you make it, how can I make my audience feel? Because it's all about what we can do for our audience. You know, the best public speakers are givers. They're not receivers. They're not standing on the stage going like, me, 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 give it to me, right? Thank you very much for having me and good luck to everybody.
Running a business that you love will make such a difference to your life. Emma and Carla Pappas give us the tips on how to run a business that you love. Be present, create acceptance, and be grateful. The girls tell us. Now let's have a listen.
Deciding how you run your business and deciding the way that you run your business is going to be in a joyful way. Because I like to use that disclaimer in like, we don't love everything that we do in our business. You know, I don't love checking the emails, but I decide to do it in a joyful way. So there's a lot of things that I just talked about.
I was like, whoa, that's a lot. I think what it is as well is it's choosing to live a life with more joy. And therefore, if you run a business, you just choose to bring more joy to your business. And there's two ways of doing life, in a joyful way or a non-joyful way. You do it in a stressed out way. And to me, it's a simple answer. Like, why would I want to do the more stressed out way? So now I do the things that create joyful nature or the less stressed nature that might resonate with people. Like, people are funny with the word joy as well. It's like this word and this feeling, and you might see someone being joyful and you think, oh, like, they're very immature. But it's like, actually, no, they're just enjoying their lives and having fun and maybe playing and acting childlike. But actually, they're also serious and have a great business.
So I think there's three things that we are always quite focused on, and that is presence, acceptance, and gratitude. So I'll start with presence. And the reason why we make this a huge part of our business in everyday lives, not just in our business, but every moment of our lives, we are always aiming to come back to this moment, the only moment where life itself exists. Because if you're anything like me, I am always looking forward into the future and thinking of my million things on my to-do list, my next big goal, I've got to get there. And I'm always thinking about the past. Like, I'm thinking about, oh, like, what? Oh, that was a mistake. Or maybe I could have done that better. And what else? Oh, yeah, I didn't really like that and how that turned out. And so there's a lot of future living and there's a lot of past living. And there's very limited present living, which is the only moment where life is happening. So it's the here and the now. And so we welcome in presence so we can actually experience life. We can experience the journey. And what this does is it takes a weight off your shoulders. It makes you realize, oh, okay, if now is the only moment that I have, then when I look around in this moment, I actually have everything that I need right now. And so rather than grasping and reaching and forever going for that next thing, which is over there and not here, it kind of makes sense why we want to bring in presence, because it alleviates this stress of thinking we've got to go, go, go and get. It releases that hustle mindset of that we have to rush, that we have to do things faster. And so when we bring in presence, an email, for example, an email response back to someone is done in a very calm and kind way. It's not done in like, oh, I'm so annoyed, like, I shouldn't be doing this, I want to be doing something else. So Eckhart Tolle, who is one of the leaders in living present, says that all stress comes from wanting to be over there when we are actually here. So if we can welcome in more presence, then this will also alleviate stress. So this is one thing that we can do to bring in more joy.
So I really appreciate your time, ladies, and thank you very much for being on Small Business Talk.
The one thing I've noticed a lot of in the last few weeks and months is how everyone is looking for and reaching out to their community. The power of collaborative community to grow a small business is what Len Hawkins talks about. Conversations are key, value matching, and making sure that the collaboration is a win-win for all parties. Len said, this is a major thing that you need to be looking out for with collaborations. Collaborations and strong community can help your business grow and open opportunities that you would never thought were possible. Let's hear what Lynn has to say.
Good collaborations and the best alliances are those that have a similar business strategy and are actually trying to attract, retain and develop a similar market to yours. A good example would be, let's take a financial planner. A financial planner might be looking to engage with family businesses and owners of family businesses to help them with their financial planning. And so they need to think about, well, who else is actually doing with family businesses? Who might be consulting to family businesses around succession or around their finance needs or around their legal needs? Who else is actually in that space that is, you know, would get benefit from a collaboration that then brings, at the end of the day, ultimate value and better value to your target market? Because that is obviously going to be the basis of a good alliance if it's got a business development function. Really important when you're actually in a collaboration that there's a benefit to both of you and both of your businesses for the time and the energy that it's going to take to do an alliance, that it's going to be a win-win. It's really important that you know, that all parties involved, and it might be a three-way party, that there's some benefit in that.
Perfect. I heard of a really good collaboration where it was a top-end beautician and they were looking at their customers, and what they did was they identified that all their women customers drove luxury vehicles, and they predominantly drove one particular variety of luxury vehicle. So they went and approached the dealer in the local city who was for that luxury vehicle, and they ended up doing a cross promotion where they gave the dealer hampers. So every woman that bought a new luxury vehicle of that particular brand got a hamper from this beautician. And of course, in that hamper was a voucher to come and use their services. And it became so successful that the car dealer actually wanted to roll it out across Australia, which unfortunately wasn't able to be done because this was just a one-off beauty parlour. It wasn't a franchise. That in the end, they then had to scale it back because it was bringing in so many customers that they'd outgrown their premises. Things like that can be really huge. So it doesn't have to be a massive scale.
I would say don't go into a long-term collaboration until you've actually tested the relationship. So test it on something that's a finite project with clear outcomes that you're trying to achieve, even if they're a marketing-related outcome or a promotional project. Just make sure that you're working together, that you're actually collaborating in a way that is testing that relationship before you dive in deep. Yeah, avoid the big things first, start small and get that right. I like to, with any of my collaborations, I just like to work with people without too many big outcomes that we're trying to achieve, just to get a feel for how we work together. And, you know, over time then you can see, yeah, okay, this I would enjoy working with and collaborating, and then coming together and saying, now that we know more about each other's businesses,
right, what are the sort of meeting of the minds that are bigger than us on before our you actually
I think taking your time,
with a,
don't
you know,
jump
with a
in too quickly, project. Getting that right sort of meeting of the minds in place before you actually go ahead with a bigger project.
So thank you very much, Lynn.
Did you reflect on your time over COVID and make a decision that you need to change your career, change your job or your business? Is it time to start that business that you've always been dreaming of? Is it the right time to start a business? Joe Morrison suggests that we start by doing a brain dump on a piece of paper. Yes, a good old-fashioned piece of paper with a pen. That way you can work out whether this idea is a great hobby, something you love, or a real business idea that you can build on and provide yourself a real income. Let's listen to Joe's insights.
I think they can really start by getting some ideas down on a piece of paper. I think there can be a real overcomplication with business planning. And in the first early stages, it's really about working out whether this is something that you love and you would like to look to have a commercial element to it, whether it is a hobby and it is just something you love and you want to focus on that. Getting some thoughts down on a piece of paper about where you would see it going, what you think the potential opportunities are there. So I guess a form of a mind map rather than a bland, boring business plan that you might submit to a bank to try and get finance, for example. So starting with some basics there.
And I think putting it on paper is actually really good because it does cement it in your brain and it takes away that sort of panic when you sit in front of a computer screen and there's just a blank screen, there's nothing there. Paper just seems to make it come to life so much easier.
It does. There's something quite friendly about paper, I think, compared with a computer screen. And I think you can also categorize things. So thinking about what activities you would like to do day to day, what would you like to be doing more of in your day to day? Then maybe you can go into the more things like, how would I make money? How can I test to see if people will pay for this product or service?
Absolutely, because a lot of times the business is great. It's an absolutely fabulous idea. Your friends and family say, oh, yeah, that's terrific. But would they actually put their dollars down? And that's one point too, to remember that your friends and family are generally not your audience. So even though it's good to talk to them about it and get a few ideas, you really do need to go to your peer group and to the people that will be your actual audience, your potential customers.
Definitely. Also, I think it's important not to be put off by people saying they wouldn't necessarily buy it, because that's feedback, right? That's not necessarily a shutdown and an absolute no. That's a maybe you need to work on this idea a little bit further, or maybe you need to think a little bit laterally and add another idea to it. You know, what could you combine or change? Could you run it in a different format? I mean, my business is entirely online. I generally don't meet with clients face-to-face. I coach entirely over the phone. So in terms of the current job market and what's happening out there with people working from home, that's a space I've already been in that people used to think was weird. And I think also looking at the way you will sell your product or service is super important. There'll be marketplaces out there that maybe you haven't even considered or that you don't know about. There's different places that specialize in selling different sorts of products and services. Doing some research about how you make your money and where your audience lives is a really good starting point as well.
So thank you, Joe. Well, that's been great, hasn't it? Lots of ideas that you can think about. Lots of things to do to take advantage of the current opportunities for your business and power ahead even in these uncertain times. Now, if you like these, go back and listen to the full episodes that we have featured today. So episode 37, Negative Self-Talk with Amy. Episode 57, Overcoming Public Speaking with Victoria. Episode 55, Running a Business That You Will Love with Emma and Carla. The Power of Collaborations and Community with Lynn Hawkins. And The Right Time to Start Your Business with Joe Morrison. I hope you found this snapshot of some of our previous episodes useful, and I look forward to chatting with you next week. Stay safe, stay well, and remember, keep moving forward. Till next week, bye for now. Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. And SBT community, enjoy your journey.